So, welcome to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace and prosperity in Europe. This one is about European Italy, a beautiful, amazing country, a country on which I will talk a lot because I really love it and it's an important country. Founding member of NATO, of the EU, of the Euro, and it could be perfect. Unfortunately, some things in Italy are far from perfect. Let's not talk about history, the mafia, or some other dubious reputation. Let's talk about the facts. Now, in 2021, in this terrible corona crisis, the European Union is just preparing a 220 billion euro package to support, or it's 209, it's exactly in euro, $220 billion. It's billions, it's a lot, yeah. A package to help the recovery of Italy, which is very hard hit, obviously, in this tragic corona crisis. But it's still a considerable amount of money. The new prime minister, and who was appointed, is a very serious European politician, Mr. Draghi. He has saved the euro, that's his reputation, but he definitely did a good job. Let's not exaggerate about saving, but he managed the euro crisis and also the debt crisis very well. He is now the prime minister, and he is one, to my counting, the fourth one, which is supposed to, supposedly in the last 30 years, the last one to save Italy. You know, there is always a lot of hyperbole and kind of excited rhetoric in Italy. I can guarantee you there will be Italy as well in 10, 20, 100 and 500 years from now. So it's no need to save Italy. Also, there is some certain need to save the Italian economy from the Italian politicians. Yes, that's absolutely true. And Mr. Draghi, I think he's a serious man, as was Mr. Monti, as was certainly Mr. Berlusconi was not. And also Mr. Renzi was not. And there were several others. Let's not get too excited about them. But if you're interested actually on Mr. Berlusconi, there is a wonderful podcast out there, which is Bunga Bunga from the American podcast company. I love to listen to it. It's quite entertaining. So let's not get into the details of internal politics, because from European perspective, Italy matters. And so what is necessary is reform of Italy. So how to reform Italy? What really should be done with this $220 billion or 210 billion euros? What really needs to be done, I will discuss now. And also how to analyze what Italy's problems are. And then we can go step by step. Maybe you will agree, maybe not. But basically, Italy is just fine. It's in the EU, it's in NATO, it has the euro. So the fundamentals are sound and it will be fine. Don't worry, it will be fine. But it would just be a bit helpful if somebody cares about competitiveness. Because Italy is the typical very big country like France, Germany, Spain, Italy, where they don't learn English, where they don't care for the other countries very much. Because they have this big market, over 60 million people, and this leads a little bit to laziness and to kind of introverted kind of culture and happy with themselves. And so the situation is like this. Also, Berlusconi had this big speech about the free E's 20 years ago about English, internet, and what was the third, the economy, yes. But, you know, he delivered very little, unfortunately, but performance factor and show factor. That was, of course, unbeatable. But step by step. Let's first see some other things, you know. When you look at the GDP level, actually, until the great financial crisis of 2008, Italian GDP was really somehow doubling, even tripling when you see it about from the end of the Cold War. Definitely there was a major progress. The problem is since the end of the financial crisis, since 2009 onwards, Italy has from 40,000 GDP per capita to 33,000. So there is a significant drop and Italy has not recovered the 2008 level still now in 2020. And now probably 21 will be a worse year. And in Italy is now in the prosperity level, GDP capita dollar net is about the level of 2006 now. Yeah, that's quite shocking when you think about it. It's quite a similar case in many ways like Greece. It's also at 160% of debt to GDP. it's quite a big number. It's the second biggest in Europe. So there is some worries and it has to be addressed. And it's not impossible to address. You know, I can basically give an outline for the reform of Italy in this podcast, and I will come to that in a second. But just let's be clear. Basically, fundamentally, Italy has achieved everything what is needed. But there is this challenge of this high level of debt, of the low growth, and of a decline in prosperity. And now let's discuss what exactly needs to be done. Yes, also big countries must be competitive in globalization in a united Europe. Nobody lives alone. And Italy obviously has to reduce its tax rate. Italy has 24% corporation tax, and that's about 10 percentage points too high. For a country at that kind of prosperity in the middle level of 33,000, it is 15% of corporation tax. And also the income tax levels are much too high. It's not as extreme as in Austria. It's between 23 and 43. But what is the best level? It's 15% flat tax. Because Italy anyhow has a major problem with tax evasion. After Germany, it's the second biggest tax invader on Europe. Yeah? And that's evader, not the invader, but the evader. So basically people live in the shadow. People have a tradition of not to pay taxes. And the social contract in Italy is very similar to the Balkans and to Greece. People try to hide. People don't understand why to fund it. And so if you have too high income taxes, obviously you have massive evasion. We have the same problem in Austria with our 55 maximum taxation. They only have 43, but it's still much too high for the tax consensus between the taxpayer and the state. Yeah. So that's absolutely necessary, 15%. And to make it clear, I'm in no way supporting any of the right-wing populists there who demand also 15% of tax. It's just rational. And when we leave topics like, for example, cutting taxes to the right-wing populists, now the middle classes of Italy then vote for them. Because if the center-right and the center-left is totally incapacitated and promises a lot, delivers nothing and never cuts taxes, obviously then people they lose the credibility and the electoral support. And that's obviously something dangerous. So instead of getting Salvini in the government, which more or less in this kind of coalition of national unity he is now, it would have been much wiser already 10 years ago to cut taxes. Or like Berlusconi already said, cut taxes to 15%. Yes, and where is it? I mean, a country at that productivity level is not a Western European industrial state. Yeah? Some parts in northern Italy, yes, but not the whole of Italy. And Italy is a very diverse country, and that needs to be reflected. In taxation, very low, very good, 15%, flat tax, income and corporate. Now let's come to labor market flexibility. Please take a look at the Lithuanian Free Market Institute. They have published, and also the OECD and many others do that, labor market flexibility index. Italy is not the worst offender in Europe, contrary to the reputation. No. It's France which is the worst labor market in Europe. And many others have also very terrible labor markets. Yeah. So, but nevertheless, labor market flexibility amounts to something. In Italy, there is a big topic about it, and this is also important to reform, to open, to liberalize, to open and make it more flexible. That's absolutely important. Federalism. In a country like Italy, which has a similar unification history like Germany, but Germany has kept its federal structures, and Germany was fully reformed by the Americans into a working federal state. General McCloy and all these wonderful people who America sent, who reformed, helped to write the constitution. That is really a big success story. Austria has copied some aspects of it, and I call for American, German, Austrian federalism as well for Italy. Italy is a much more diverse country because the geography, this kind of unique long stretch of land into the Mediterranean together with Sicily and all these issues that lead to a big north-south divide. And you need to have differences in economic governance, and you need economic governance at the regional level. You need very strong federalism and very clear powers for the regions. And if that was not working, the Italians have gone through a kind of kind of, how you call it, this kind of carousel or federalism. One day more rights for the free regions, then less rights for the regions, then again more rights for the regions, 30 years of constitutional reforms, which is not working. And then more centralism, again federalism, more centralism. This is utter nonsense. You need to have a working American-German model or bicameral. Obviously you have, but then get it to study what the Americans do and fix this kind of power distribution between the regions and the two chambers and get this done. Nobody needs parliamentarians appointed lifelong. That's a very bizarre thing. Outside of the United Kingdom, I've never heard about it. And nobody needs this kind of regions when they have no powers. See what Bavaria is having. See what North Rhine-Westphalia has. See Arizona. This kind of competitive SME-oriented regional economic governance and political structures we need. And that's very important. And also we don't need a kind of a common Italian minimum wage or a Italian common collective bargaining or something. Italy is very, very diverse country, and this needs to be reflected in internal competition between the regions for investments and for the best investment locations. Let's come to doing business and assess the SMEs, the small medium enterprises. What's the policy of Italy on that one? Italy is in doing business at 58, yeah? Well, that's not really very good for such a big history of a country which was never under communist rules. And here you see the whole truth. Italy has not really reformed its microeconomic governance in the last 30 years. 58, yeah? Macedonia is much better. Don't speak about Georgia. I mean, Italy is really quite bad when you look about paying taxes. Or the other sector is the enforcement of contracts, the rule of law. Like, look to Germany. Rule of law is perfect. In Italy, rule of law in the courts is at 122. I mean, that's the worse than Albania. I mean, that's really very bad. Taxation, paying taxation. We have digitalized all the payments of taxation in all Balkans. And in Italy, it's at 128. I mean, it's really bad. Where have you been the last 30 years? Italy sleeping, missing in action? The same about anti-corruption. And Italy is at 52 in Transparency International. Georgia is at 42. Georgia in ERP, just right out there, is much better. Ranked before Italy, which is a NATO EU member and a Euro member. I mean, that's something you should be really quite ashamed. Now comes the infrastructure. Infrastructure in Italy is already very good. I mean, it's a rich and developed country. They have the highways, the fast trains and all these things. And now they build more. Fine. But let's be a bit ambitious and build what is really necessary. I have already called many times. We are now doing this Alpine tunnel to the Brenner, to the north. Very good. There's this controversy about the Alpine tunnel towards in France, but it's necessary. Let's do it. And obviously it's also necessary to build a tunnel to Sicily and to build the tunnel from Sicily to Tunisia, because we need in Europe to be better connected towards Africa. This is our strategic partner, Africa, Tunisia, the darling of the success story of the Arab Spring. Tunisia must be connected. It's technically feasible. It's very expensive. It's far beyond the fiscal capacities of Italy. But that's why we are a united Europe. We will pay for it. And it's for everybody. It's for our general benefit in the European Union. So we are a continental union. So let's do the tunnel to Africa via Italy. Very good for Italy. Very good for Africa. Very good for the global economy. Very expensive. Put the bill to Europe. So the same is for the tunnel to Albania. We need a Southern Adriatic tunnel. We have now the pipeline. This is now finished. That's a very big game changer in the energy market to have the Trans-Adriatic pipeline. Now we need the Trans-Adriatic tunnel, if you want to call it like this. TAT. After TAP comes TAT. So it's quite logical. Again, it's very expensive and Europe has to pay for it. But it's very important. If you see geography, Italy is obviously very disconnected from the main European markets due to its geography. And so it's important to change that. And these two tunnels, the Messina tunnel and the Adriatic tunnel, they are the way to do that. And yes, they can be done technically. The Norwegians, the Chinese, the Japanese, they're all doing these kind of things. Will it need 30 years? Will it need 40 years? Fine. But let's start to build, plan, fund and dig. And do the permissions and get going. It's technically doable. There can be floating tunnels and there's various technologies now. But we need to connect by railway, by high-speed railway towards Africa and from Albania to Italy. There's no doubt about it. Coming to state companies, that's of course a big area of collusion, corruption, and that's a huge sector. Italy has some of the largest companies in the world. I mean, some have left Italy because of the high taxation and of the high corruption and the bad administration, like this Ferrari umbrella organization I just read. But when you see that some of the biggest European and worldwide energy companies like Enel and Eni, and they are Italian companies. Yeah? So it's not that they are like poor or whatever. They are double-digit billion or triple-digit billion in the case of Enel. Yes, turnover companies. These are huge global giants, and they are Italian. Italy has also a working economy, but obviously this state sector is dominating and it's failing. Like similar, again, it's a typical case of the European state-owned railway airline company, Air Italia, obviously broken already. Like Austria and the whole of them will be gone because we have too long pep them up, and so now they have, anyhow, many of them will be finished, and there will be restructuring. But what is needed is to privatize further the state sector. It's not only 200 billion from Europe and then nothing. No, 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 sell your state sector. Sell your state sector at the Italian Stock Exchange, or sell it at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange, or in New York, or Europeanize it. If something cannot be sold, like the railway, or doesn't want to be sold, like for some strategic region, then Italy, please transfer this asset upwards to the European level and reduce the debt, which is currently unsustainable. Italy needs to sell something to reduce the debts, but also to reform and restructure the economy, to bring fresh investment and fresh capital and some outside expertise and technology into the Italian market. But also somehow open and bring fresh air in this kind of collusive, corrupt inner structures between politics and big corporate state-owned companies. Also on the regional level, there are many of these regional utilities. And on the municipal level, it's similar like in Germany. There's hundreds and hundreds of companies owned by the municipal level, by the regional level, by the state level, and that's all pretty messy and dodgy, and that needs to be really reformed. Privatize it. If you look in detail, that sector is very well developed under statecapture.eu, where Czech Republic, Romania, Bulgaria, and also Italy are the most corrupt and most state-captured kind of economies. That's all connected to the history of the Cold War and some whatever, the World War II and all these things. But this is much too much in the state hand, and it's not necessary. It's time to sell it. I've talked already about the municipal level, but that's a very big problem in Italy as well. And in many ways, Italy needs to be reformed like a Southeastern European reform economy. It was not a communist country, lucky them, obviously. That's why it's also still richer than Slovenia. But it hasn't had this reform drive of the last 30 years like the Southeastern European countries. And I call therefore the Italian municipalities to join the business-friendly certification program for Southeastern European economies, bfc-see.org, and then to evaluate the business friendliness of each single municipality of Italy and to certify them for their business friendliness and then to digitalize them, copy the Macedonian digital construction permit success, amazing progress, the cadaster of digitalization where every house and every apartment online, every mortgage online, every property tax online, and so on. This is very important, the digitalization of the municipality level and also of the whole e-government. That's now hopefully happening. It's anyhow, I think, one of the key drivers also of the Draghi package. But do it on the municipal level and do it together with the friends in Southeastern Europe. Let's make a big database of business-friendly municipalities from the Balkans and from Italy and from Austria and get them certified and get this going. This is a very good project also for Italy. And then let's also discuss a bit about foreign policy, because Berlusconi and Putin, this big they had many hobbies together, making money and doing other things. But, you know, this is, of course, outrageous. Italy should be back in line with the American and German and Italian and the mainstream European partners and support Ukraine more and also support the integration of Ukraine in NATO and EU and the adoption of the euro. And also the Balkan countries, where Italy has always such a major and important historic links, get them into the European Union, NATO and the euro very fast. That's only positive for the Italian economy, and to make sure that there is a prosperity, then there will be also less migration pressure from the Balkans, and there will be also more prosperity over there, which is also good for the Italian companies investing in the Balkans, which they should. And also they have a lot of things to make up for, because Italy has made a lot of crimes in Albania, in Montenegro, in many parts, in Greece, obviously, and also in Croatia, and so on and so on. There is a lot of lists of things where Italy can also say still sorry and learn from German, Austrian Vergangenheitsbewältigung, from coping with the past and getting ready for a better future. Italy somehow missed out some of these aspects because it was less in the attention, and obviously then it was seen somehow escaping this kind of process of confronting its own criminal fascist past after the Second World War, because of course the Cold War, and there was some compromises made, and then there was the big fear that it joins the Soviet world, and this kind of CIA campaign in 48, and all these stories, Gladiator and so on and so on. So there was a lot of compromises done in during the Cold War just to keep Italy in the West. But none later than the Italians was already so successful and rich. When the opening of the West and the victory in the Cold War came, Italy didn't really feel a big need to reform, because it's anyhow such a pleasant, wonderful people, such a great place to live, you know, and who wants to think about tomorrow when the sun is shining, the world is beautiful, the girls are amazing, and the architecture is there, the inherited wealth is aplenty, and the tourists are coming anyhow, so many, that there's almost, they were complaining about over-tourism. Again, people who cannot manage this kind of complement of people coming to see the beauty of your country, and then they complain about too many of them. That's very annoying in my view. But as I have said many times already in this podcast, really it's a heaven sent that people want to see this beautiful country. But when you inherited a beautiful country and a lot of architectural and cultural beauty, you have also to prepare it well and to keep it up, and also to think about the future, and also to invest and make a competitive economic framework. Not some kind of social democratic southern beauty on the cost of the northern Europeans, and now the eastern Europeans are already complaining, and many say, oh, let's not join the euro, because then we have to subsidize Italian way of life. That's the reality what the Polish and the Czechs and some others are saying. And that's not very good, you know. That's not a proud position to be, that the prosperity of Slovenia is now catching up with Italy. Slovenia is now at 26,000, Italy is at 33. So Italy will be overtaken by Slovenia in about 5 years if the trends continue, and Italy doesn't reform, and that's quite striking. And then the Czech Republic is coming up, and Slovakia, and so on and so on. Then Italy will be poorer than Eastern Europe, or Central Europe at least. Even when you see the growth rates of very dramatically poor Romania in the last 15 years, which is now about half as rich as... No, that's exaggerated. It's at 12,000, and Italy still at 33, so it's still at 30%. So, you know, of course, you know, when you are so happy and so successful and so rich and so beautiful, everything like Italy is, then you think, why really care and all have all these complicated processes, think about competitiveness, yeah? Anyhow, Eastern Europe, where is that? And so we are fine in Rome, in Napoli, and Milano. The life is beautiful and everything is amazing. Anyhow, we are overrun by tourists And who really cares for Günther Fehlinger and his half an hour of reform talk? We just consume another 200 billion of European euros when we need it. In the meantime, we will be subsidized by the transfers which are hidden in the eurozone, in the euro as an instrument, which is buying massively also Italian bonds, because probably nobody else would buy them on the free market, or with very high interest rates, because such a bad performance in the last 30 years will be normally punished by the investing community with a significant risk premium. And so then it would be not 1%, but maybe 7% for the Italian debt, if not the European Central Bank would guarantee that whatever it takes, we will buy the Italian bonds. And it's fine. I'm absolutely in favor of that policy. But if kindly the Italian political elite could also do the homework that we are not blocked and in the East with the Ukrainian EU accession because Italy needs first to reform, or that Poland is not joining the euro because then they have to bail out Italy because seemingly Italy is not able to do the most simple reforms which we can expect, from taxation to labor to federalism to SME-friendly anti-corruption to doing the infrastructure, which anyhow we can pay all together because it's for all our interests. That is totally fine. But you could still privatize some of your state companies and also do some kind of Europeanization if you are not ready for privatization and digitalization. Yes, absolutely, that should be done. And what exactly is Italy waiting for? I remember this Berlusconi speech when I went there in 1999. I was at this youth congress of, I was invited, and I had this funny Italian speech prepared. I don't speak Italian, just, you know, but I spoke in Italian at that moment. I prepared the speech, I delivered it, and I remember it was well received, actually. I said right and nice things. I think similar things like today. I hope I didn't change too much. But I remember the main speech there was Berlusconi calling about digitalization, the internet, his big priority. He was calling for big infrastructure projects, which, to my knowledge, nothing has really happened, and not a lot at least. And then he called also for lower taxation. Yes, you know, a little bit happened. A little bit infrastructure certainly happened as well in the last 20 years. But when you look around, when you see and look at the numbers, and when you look that you have 30 years now, Italy has almost no economic growth. And then now the people then come and start to blame the euro. It's not the euro. The euro is wonderful. The euro is keeping Italy in the prosperity zone. Without that, you know, Italy would have certainly devalued already 3 times, as they have regularly done in the 80s and the 70s. And the last time also the very big currency shock of 92 together with the pound. And obviously they then export the misery of their own incapacity to reform towards the Austrian, German and French and then to everybody else via this competitive devaluation, which was always the standard of Italian economic policy because they're incapable to get anything done in Rome. And then they export the pain towards their companies and their competitors in Northern Europe. And then they call that fairness. Obviously, that's no longer possible. And now all the problems of Italian political systems are exposed. Yeah? And now it's crunch time. Now we have Draghi in charge. I hope they all understand that it's pretty serious. And what structural reform means, I have already outlined in this small podcast, and it's quite simple. Start to sell your stuff and the assets, absolutely, must be going to the stock market. Cut taxes to 15. Don't wait for Salvini, but do it now, right now at the moment. And that will really then create a decent political system with some standard parties and get going. And don't believe all these fools who are like the Berlusconis. Yeah, I regret once 20 years ago, I really talked positively about Berlusconi. Everybody in Austria laughed about me. I remember that. It was painfully. I thought I have some solidarity and I believed, you know, him that he will reform something. You know, I tend to believe politicians when they say they want to reform. And when I get older, I'm getting more disappointed because 20 years about talking, promising reform and so little progress. Anyhow, in the next coming weeks, I will also try to find some interview partners from Italy to come up with more details and facts from the Italian side. But basically, this is what Europe and Italy should be about it, and this is what I hope will happen. Let's give Draghi a chance. Let's give Italy a chance. And whatever it is, it's in NATO, EU, Euro, it will be fine and will be expensive, I'm sure about it. And we have to help the Italians now in this crisis. But it would be good the Italians help us as well and get some the act together and do some reforms. That would be really cool. So, amazing Italy. Visit it as soon as possible. It's beautiful. It's amazing. But make sure as well that it is could be much more prosperous and successful and much more amazing if it would somehow have economic growth again. And that's the way for prosperity, I think so. Thanks a lot for listening. For European Italy. Ciao.